Hello. Welcome to the DIY Freedom of Information Act panel. I am Dave Moss. Shut that down.
Well, we all go forwards, we don't bite that much.
I am an investigative researcher at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. That means I file a lot of public records requests and I dig through a lot of documents and to try to uncover what kind of
surveillance local police and the government are doing. Just sort of start off by, can I just see how many people were here last year at this panel? Awesome. So I will probably recycle just a little bit of my really quick presentation, but before I do that, I'm going to have the rest of my panel introduce themselves.
I am Katech. I'm a researcher with TorrentFreak.com. I've also been with the Pirate Party. I've done a lot of European research as well.
My name is Jeff Terwitzhazen. I'm a technical consultant for a payments company called ACI Worldwide. I have degrees in cybersecurity and MIS. Thank you for coming out this morning.
Perfect. So I'm just going to do a quick brief overview, and I have to admit in advance that the first few slides here are going to be borrowed from a few people I'll introduce in a second. It's just that they have put together a better presentation than I would ever be able to do. So imagine a gigantic database. A database of documents. Every document the US government has ever created. That database exists. It even has a name. It's called Every Document the US Government Has Ever Created and Hasn't Gone Around to Throwing Out Yet. And you can query this database by using an obscure search engine called FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act. You can also do it on the local level, and that would be called, depending on what your state is, New York, it's the Freedom of Information Law. In California, it's the California Public Records Act.
The Open Government Act.
What is it in Georgia?
Oh,
I think it's
now you're asking, it's Monday morning.
That's fine. These are very easy to do. A FOIA request can be very, very simple. This is why I use this, because it's hilarious. You would want to start off saying that it's a Freedom of Information Act request, and you say what kind of records you want. You ask them not to charge you, and yet, you have to say that you're willing to pay up to a certain amount of money for copies, but they should get in contact with you if it's going to go over that amount. And then the process generally looks like this. You send it, they receive it, they make a note of it, they send you a letter saying, hey, we got this. Then they do a search and they send you a note saying, hey, we don't have any records, or they say, we do have records. If they do have records, they may be redacted, they may not be redacted, but if you get them, great. If they come back and they say no records, what you might want to do is appeal and keep sending them stuff or revise your request, and you might get the documents. I like to call Freedom of Information Act requests and Public Records Act requests a kind of citizen subpoena. It's a way to get, you send something in, you say, hey, government, you've got this information, I want to see it. And most states have a law that requires them to give you some sort of response, unless there are certain exemptions, if it's national security related, if it's related to an ongoing criminal investigation, if it's internal deliberative documents. Various states have various exemptions, and sometimes you can push back against them, sometimes you can't, sometimes you have to sue. EFF has a whole bunch of lawsuits against a whole bunch of agencies to force them to give us records. Those slides that I just showed you were all taken from Michael Ravnitsky and Phil Lapsley, who wrote a book called Exploding the Phone. They have filed thousands of public records requests, mostly in research for Phil Lapsley's book on phone phreaking. They also have a database of the records they've obtained on a whole number of issues at governmentattic.org. I'm going to go ahead and stop there. I have a few more slides, but what we're going to do in a little bit is, after my colleagues tell you a little bit about more from about their perspective, what we'll do is I will show you a few resources for how you can file your own public records request, take a few questions, and then we'll go ahead and file some records requests live right here. Pass it on to Tetch.
Oh, no.
Or to Jeff.
Pass it on to me. All right. So within my day job, we don't really do FOIA a whole lot, simply because the government usually comes to us and asks us for things. But privately, or academically, it's useful for researching. I don't think there's any requirement to use it for research, but it's definitely a resource most folk and most students don't think about, which is extremely useful, especially at the graduate and doctorate level. You can get a whole bunch of information there that is simply not available anywhere else, and it's sometimes actually just fun just to go have a look at what is out there. I know a common one is folk just go and do searches on themselves and sort of see, you know, who's got what on them. but yeah, I wanted to check. I don't know about the search site though. Is that just is it Google run? The FOIA web search?
No, that was a...
Oh, this is a joke. Damn. That would be fun, though.
Thing.
But yeah, there is paperwork, and the hardest thing about the FOIA stuff is learning how to navigate the paperwork that goes along with it.
Perhaps the wording as well, just getting that.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing which keys to hit.
And I don't think there's any real books on how to do those requests.
There are many books.
There are many books on how to file
them. Resources online, yeah. Guides online, yeah.
So, go out and play with it. Think of weird and obscure things to go look for. I mean, you're paying your tax, you may as well make them work for their money. Just have fun with it. And actually, if we do this next year again, please come back and tell us what you searched for and what you found. I think that there would be fantastically interesting just to see what, you know, throughout the year, what you guys thought about searching for and, you know, what you got back and how much of it you got back with NSLs, which are national security letters, versus what they had no problem giving you versus what you had to, go and revise the keywords and search terms and whatnot to actually get what you were looking for. So, if you get some free time, please do so, and please let us know what your turnout from that was.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to move across because after a whole weekend of being extremely hot in here, I am now freezing cold in this AC output. But the one time it seems to be working.
I did shower.
No, it's... But the US isn't the only country with a freedom of information law. A lot of countries do. And you don't have to be a citizen of that country to even file a request. A lot of countries, like the UK, you could file a request if you want to do comparative research. I filed some in the past there. They have slightly different procedures and slightly different requirements. For instance, there's no, you don't have to put the fee things. And there are even websites that will pretty much automate it entirely for you, even keeping track of how things are and sending reminders out for certain people.
Yeah, we'll go over that in a minute.
Yeah. There is another side to the Freedom of Information Act, and that is it can be used as a tool against people. For bad. There was a story recently came out about how tobacco companies were using freedom of information requests to attack people doing research on tobacco. And people do the research, and then the tobacco companies, like state universities, and then tobacco companies would use a freedom of information request to try and harass and to pester these things into giving all their research and kind of dissuading people from doing the kind of research. Does anybody remember ClimateGate, the University of East Anglia? That was again through the UK Freedom of Information Act, which, you know, as I say, it was Americans, I believe, who did the initial request. So there are records requirements in other countries.
Cool.
I do have a lot of fun with Freedom of Information Act requests. It's almost like a game of Battleship where you file a request and then they come back and they're like, here's one document. And you're like, okay, I've got a hit. And then I look at that document and I see what other documents that document suggests, and I keep throwing another request. And then suddenly I've got more. And then I just keep doing that until I've got a full picture of a program. In some cases, you'll send it in and they'll say, we have no records. And then you'll do a quick Google search and you'll be like, well, there are already some records online. Are you sure I didn't hit your battleship? And then they go back and they actually go ahead and do it again. But before jumping into a little bit more, does anybody have any questions? We've been kind of tired, so we may not be...
I got a quick one. Oh. What is the weirdest thing you have yet requested?
So I've requested a lot of weird things over the years. In my previous role as a reporter, I once asked for complaints about a particular long-haired council member staffer's hair because I'd heard somebody complained about his hair, and so I put in a request. I didn't get anything back. One of my favorite things I put in for at the Electronic Frontier Foundation is I had noticed that the U.S. Army Recruiter's Office has a chat bot on its recruitment site that you're supposed to go on. His name is Sergeant Star. He has like a voice, and you go on and you type him questions and he responds to your questions. And through the Freedom of Information Act, I was able to get his entire script of every single possible thing he could respond, he could say to a person who asked him a question. And it was funny, like you could find out, like there were, and then it was fun because they wouldn't give us the things you would recognize, but there were like things where it was obviously an answer to the question, why is grass green? And he has a response that if you make a Forrest Gump reference, he knows how to respond to that. That was probably one of the more fun things that I've done recently. Prior to EFF, one of the other things that I did that irritated a lot of, I was a journalist before coming to EFF, and one of the things that irritated a lot of my colleagues is that I had noticed in an email thread I'd been forwarded that the Society of Professional Journalists board has somebody who sits on the California Department of Justice, who's an attorney in the California Department of Justice, and they sit on the board of SPJ. And I noticed that they had been using their California Department of Justice email account to, you know, work on Society of Professional Journalist issues. And so I put in a request for all of their emails related to the Society of Professional Journalists, and I got 2,000 pages of internal bickering between various reporters on this committee about various controversies, and I called the story I wrote Society of Petty Journalists because that was what somebody had referred to them to in their internal bickering. All right, now questions.
So one of the things that happens with FOIA requests is if you make it directly, they can then pinpoint sites on you. So how do you anonymize your FOIA requests?
So some states don't require you to say who you are. It all depends on, so for federal FOIA stuff, it may be, I'm not really sure about the level of anonymity. You can sometimes find an organization that will file one for you. Some of the tools that we're going through, you'll be able to set up you can set it up with any kind of user handle that you want, and then they will process it for you. So that's one way about it. I don't hear that many cases of retaliation over FOIA requests other than sort of personal attacks. One of my friends and favorite reporters, Jason Leopold, who writes for Vice, had gotten a Freedom of Information Act request about himself and how a particular agency had handled his FOIA request, and they referred to him as a FOIA terrorist because he sent so many of them. And so now to fundraise for his journalism, he sells T-shirts that say FOIA terrorist.
Could you use an attorney or other person, an attorney, psychologist, or pastor, somebody who has privilege?
To file it on your behalf? I mean, you could ask anybody to file it on your behalf. Sure, you could have...
But the attorney or the priest or the psychologist can then not divulge who you are.
Well, I mean, it would look like it would come from them. So your lawyer, if you had your lawyer send one, it would look like it came from that. It would come from that lawyer. And you see that quite frequently. I was investigating this surveillance contractor who's now indicted in federal court for allegedly spending $500,000 illegally in campaign funds on some district attorney and mayoral candidates in San Diego. And one of the things that I discovered is that there was this attorney in D.C. that was filing public records requests related to him. And as it came out that he was filing those as a this guy was his client, and that guy's name was not attached to it, except in the fact that they were asking to search for things related to his companies.
Would privilege exist there, like client attorney confidentiality or patient.
I mean, sure, but it's there would be no reason for the government to think that there was somebody attached with it because they're the lawyer. It actually is the lawyer filing the public records request.
Okay.
You know, like if I file, if you say to me, Dave, hey, I would love to know about this, and I say, would you file a public records request? And I would say, sure, I'll do it. I'm the one doing it. You're not the one doing it.
Yeah, but what I think there is, like, let's say I go to a lawyer and I say, will you file this on my behalf? No, I'll pay you to do this. Does the client attorney exist between me and them?
I mean,
where if anyone going back, basically the text pops at the lawyer.
So I'm not a lawyer, so yeah. I can't give legal advice and I can't things definitively. But as I understand it, it doesn't matter if you're paid by somebody else. That lawyer is the one doing it. Whoever's name is on it is the person doing it.
So my question is kind of a reflection of that. And I know you said you're going to talk about some resources. But I'm specifically curious about a subset of that, specifically, like, for example, with ClimateGate, because that's particularly a thing where there's a massive disinformation campaign on it. My question is, of those resources you're talking about, is there an organizational effort to allow, particularly, like, for example, state universities, and or would they even be allowed to use the FOIA equivalent of a core, where like they could petition this organization and say, we have reason to believe that we're going to get hit for these requests, can we use you as a shield? Is there any kind of an effort?
Like for academics?
Yeah.
So this might be a little bit beyond my knowledge scope because I don't deal with universities that often, but I do believe there's this is an area of that's sort of developing in law about how much academic freedom and how much you know a professor who works for a public university has, you know, privacy about their work and how much the things they produce are belong to them, and it's often varies state to state because state. Yeah. Laws, public records change. I mean, they're different, and there's different rules for universities. Oftentimes, the public record law applies to just administrative stuff, but Tetch might have some more thoughts on that.
Well, you referenced ClimateGate, so the University of East Anglia and the records there, right?
So among other things, including specifically Wisconsin, where there's a particularly toxic environment for any kind of FOIA. Requests and
My word, science must be doing something sciencey.
Apparently, we shouldn't be asking that question.
Yes.
Apparently not.
The black vans are outside disguised as people loading up. So with East Anglia, specifically with the UK law, there's not a lot that can be done because instead of going through a lawsuit system, you end up going through the Information Commissioner's office, and they kind of do it on a case-by-case basis with a man sitting in an office making the final decision rather than a judge in a robe and a wig, as it were.
Like I said, I'm not talking about the generic problem. I'm really talking about specifically, since it's clearly become a political issue. I'm wondering if there are any NGOs that are specifically addressing what's clearly becoming a more and more coordinated effort, and if there's anyone acting effectively as Tor in something like that.
So I don't know of any. That doesn't necessarily mean they're not out there, but I would definitely be wary of. Public officials in general using anything to hide public records. One of the things we see around the country are city council members using Gmail or private servers. The Clinton stuff is a perfect example. Using private services to hide their information so that they don't get pulled up in Freedom of Information Act requests. But so I would be very wary of that. Yeah.
Yeah, everything you were saying about trying to protect academic freedom and stuff can also be used the exact same way for the other side to prevent academics trying to access buildings. So it's a sword that cuts both ways, and that's the problem.
I understand that, but my counter argument to that would be if it's an NGO that's basically doing it for academic freedom, they would have the judgment to be.
They don't have to allow.
Right.
We're not talking about a website here.
I know, but I'm saying any other group could then set up an NGO to kind of protect the government thing. That's what I'm saying. It's a sword that cuts both. Anything you do to protect academic freedom can also be then used to.
Well, yeah, I get that, but destroying every place we live and having this, the, I mean,
yeah, I know, I'm just saying,
but you know, there is a coordinated effort by men who have that's totally outside of this discussion, but the answer to my question is no.
No, so not really.
Not as far as I know.
Yeah. Sorry.
Right, so, do we have any more questions? Or yeah. Anyway,
can you define Tor, which you keep.
Tor is an anonymizing service, so you can browse the internet. The short version is that it.
It hops from hop to hop, and you can't tell where the originator is because there's so many hops that randomize it, kind of bounces around, and like Brownian motion.
So, but let's try to keep the question short because we got other cool stuff to go over. But yeah,
you just said keep it short, so no. Maybe you can answer this later if it doesn't be long of an answer. What's the biggest runaround you had trying to get a request fulfilled, and what did you do to be able to get the request fulfilled? I'm sure it's different from all of you.
My organization has lawsuits that have been going on for 6-7 years, and usually it involves lawsuits.
And they're still not resolved.
No, I mean it's fighting, getting them to maybe a little bit at a time. It's not the weirdest one to run around, but the one that I find interesting that we're working on in Los Angeles with the LAPD and Los Angeles Sheriff's Department is over automated license plate readers. And we have been trying to get a week's worth of this data, and we don't care if they remove the license plates. We just want to see the locational stuff so we can evaluate how bad it is and how privacy invasive it is. And they claim that, first of all, they claim they're allowed to do it because it's in the public domain. But when it comes to it being a public record, well, then it's no longer in the public domain. And then they say, well, it's all part of an investigative record. And well, who are you investigating? Well, we're investigating everyone. Which
at that point, using a lawyer as a proxy, that really comes in handy.
I don't know what you mean.
Using the lawyer to file the request or something.
Well, our organization has 17 lawyers on staff, so yeah. Does anybody else have a weird one?
I have a question for you there. Do you know of any, or is there any state level version of the federal NSL?
That's not my area.
It wouldn't be very national security, would it?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is there a state level version of that? And what the NSL is, it's a national security that basically says we're not going to reply to this because it's a national security issue, and therefore it's classified, and that's been abused quite a bit.
So you mean like a Glomar, which is when they tell you they cannot confirm or deny whether they have said record.
Yeah, and obviously at the federal
level, that's like you hit that, you're like jackpot. You know, like here there is a secret there for sure.
I know that in Idaho, you can get any document, but they won't go looking for it if they don't want to. Uh-huh. And so if you don't know how to use a legal library in the state filing system, you will get lost forever. So that's how Idaho hides it at the state level.
So, Tech, you said you've done a lot of research into the UK with regard to this. I think it's the National Archives where a few years back the Mau Mau folks wound up creating a giant lawsuit against the British government that had been persecuted in Kenya, and as a result of that, they changed their policy at the National Archives to where there's now, I think, two people working there handling every request that comes into it or something like that, and they're volunteers, are retired government agents that are there kind of part-time, whatever, just to slow down the process for national requests. What are activists in Britain doing to counteract that? Is there anything?
There isn't a lot you can do with it because the British system, you file a request, it has to be done within 30 days.
Yeah.
They can get a 30-day extension by just saying they're going to get a 30-day extension. If you don't, then it goes to the Information Commissioner. The Information Commissioner can then take 30 days to respond, but give you a 30-day extension.
Right.
And then if they don't like it, you ask for a re-examination. I had one that every single thing ran to its 30-day, and then they wanted a 30-day, and so on. It just, even for a simple request, was months and months and months and months. Even for the Information Commissioner just to acknowledge things was just it. The UK is a lot less litigious than the US, so In 24 years in the UK, I saw the inside of a courtroom maybe half a dozen times. I've seen the inside of a US courtroom a lot more in the last 4 years alone. So, that.
Yeah, I think there's someone back there. Maybe this will be the last
one
for
it.
A little bit.
You can throw it.
Maybe this will be the last one for a bit, and we'll do a little bit more, and then we can take some more questions at the end.
I just had a comment that the law you were talking about to be able to stop, you were talking about just a few minutes ago, there's on the books in Florida. Florida's one of the states.
Cool. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
Okay, so I had to edit this real quickly because I used it from last year, and it said 3, and I need to change it to 4. EFF is currently doing a crowd sort. So we have launched a new project called Street Level Surveillance, which is we're trying to map out various technologies out there. And one of the ways we do this is by crowdsourcing, getting people to help file us public records requests. And the first one we're doing is related to mobile biometrics. And I'll show you that in just a moment. I want to just mention 3 others. We're going to be dealing with Muckrock a lot in this panel. Muckrock is it's been around for a few years. It's a news site, but also a community of people who file public records requests and a very, very sophisticated service for managing your public records requests. iFOIA and FOIA Machine provide similar functionality to Muckrock. The difference is that iFOIA and FOIA Machine are I believe they're totally free to use, but you get no support, tech support for it at all. And last year when we tried to do samples through those, we didn't have very good results at all. I tend to use Muckrock, which does have a fee system. You can sign up for free, and then you can earn FOIA request opportunities by helping them with their site, by looking for typos or filing public records requests on a certain issue for their collections. I just like to give people free options because, you know, a fee-based one is not necessarily optimal. But the reason they do charge a fee is because they're very, very good at it, and they do have staff who help you with your requests and will help you get through hurdles. Just to sort of show you real quick, Street Level Surveillance, this is the site for it. If you go to the File of Public Biometrics Public Records Request, we have 3 different options to do it. One is for us to do it for you. We don't actually require your name if you want to give it. We don't require your email address, but we may update you on what happened. But if somebody wants to throw out where they live, I'll go ahead and enter it in real quick.
Cherokee County.
Where is that?
Cherokee County, Woodstock, Georgia.
Cherokee County.
Woodstock, Georgia. Sorry, I didn't see the city.
Oh, Woodstock, Georgia. I mean, that would have been fine too. This is so you're in Woodstock,
one
Georgia.
Word, yeah.
You're in Woodstock, Georgia, and we'll go down. And you want to do the Cherokee County Sheriff's Department?
Yes.
Sheriff's Department. All right. That is all we need. We will do the rest. And boom. That is it. Thanks for filing a FOIA. Anybody else got one?
That was hard.
And yeah, it's super easy for this. It's because we actually do this for you. We have a whole template that we file. Anybody else got one?
Jacksonville, Florida.
We may actually hold on. Let me try to see if we already have Jacksonville. That may take a let's see. Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. We already got that.
Yep.
Did that work for you? You got another one?
Boise, Idaho.
Let me just make sure if we have Boise. So we do not have Boise. All right, so let's go back to my page. Okay, so you're in Boise, Idaho. What agency in
Ada County Sheriff.
What's that?
Ada County Sheriff.
Ada County Sheriff. All right.
So that Muckrock, that data we can look at.
Yeah, there's a page on Muckrock.
Without being a member.
Yes, and you can go online, and I'll show you how that looks like. So, on there, like you'll look through, and these are all the ones we filed so far, and they'll show you like all the ones and what the status is on these. And I'll show you a good one is Denver. So if you click on Denver, you'll see here's the email exchange, here's the letter we sent them, here is their response with their documents, and then you can let's look at this one.
You put that information on Muckrock?
What's that?
You
information?
Yeah. So Muckrock uploads all of the documents there, and you can see it. You can search through, and you can you know, if you saw a good public records request, you could clone it. So here's the document here. But what I want to show you is that last year, in this panel, one of the people, I'm going to file a few like this through Muckrock. Somebody had asked for marijuana citation for the state of California.
Yours truly.
What's that?
Yours truly.
What's the bulk? Like a last couple panels, you were like, I can neither confirm or deny. So let me show you. So they got it and they sent it to me, and we went back and forth a little bit. But
no,
we got the data, and it'll take a second there for it to download, but I'll show you what this looked like once it downloads. We're almost there.
So
but this
EFF is using the Muckrock site to do the request.
It's a partnership with Muckrock. Okay. So we don't, as an organization, do it, but for the crowdsourcing ones, we do. When I do panels like this, I use Muckrock to show people. And then when I file public records requests outside of EFF for my own interests, I do it through Muckrock. And let's take a look. And so here we go. So they gave us a set of data codes, and once you kind of have to know what these. There's a lot of different codes in here, but there's the summary offense. They, you know, protected people's privacy. They did give us the ethnicity of people and the gender and what happened as an outcome of it. And I didn't do anything with this. I just let it be there on Muckrock. And this is one of the cool things about the Muckrock community, is that one of their reporters loved that stuff, did a whole story analyzing the data, making spreadsheets showing what the findings, you know, the various things that they found in the data and what they found was interesting. I mean, like, you know, here's juvenile citations. It's pretty interesting to know that, you know, more Hispanic kids got misdemeanors or got charges, period, than white kids and black kids combined. Then what's cool about that, beyond that, is that somebody else saw that story and that record request, and they filed requests in Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, Vermont, and Washington, the same request that we came up with here last year. And they came up with a whole guide for this information, which I was just stunned. Like, the little thing that took me, like, you know, under a minute sitting here in this panel became this huge thing. So if anybody has their computer here, I can give out a few accounts Muckrock gave me some logins, and you get three free to file, and I can go in and do that for you.
I wanted to make a comment on this.
Sure.
Because I was the person who requested that originally, and when I believe the information came in its form, you showed it in the spreadsheet, I thought, oh, okay, well, that's it. And you mentioned this a couple of days ago, so of course, oh, well, let me see what he's referring to. And all of this had happened. I was very surprised by that because I hadn't looked at it again.
Question, when you follow any of these things, do you guys ever run into the problem of information inundation?
Sometimes. Not too often. I mean, when I get, like, one of the things that's inundating is when you get an email chain, and one thing that agencies will do, because they, you know, because they will be very, very literal about your request, and you will ask for all emails on things, and so there'll be an email chain of 200 emails, and by the time you get to the last email on that chain, it actually has all the previous 200 emails in the response body, and so you're getting a bill for however many pages in the copy for copies, when really, you know, they full on knew that they're basically charging you a bunch of money for redundant information.
Can you ask that they redact the redundancy?
I think you can ask, like, you can send a note saying, like, I'm concerned about redundant. When they give you the estimate, you can say, like, I would like to narrow my request, and then ask questions maybe about, you know, depending on the state and the location, they may be more helpful, and you can say, how many of these are redundant, how many of these are, you know, over the top. Where we end up seeing like the bigger haystacks are when documents are leaked in bulk. Yeah. You know, it's hard to go through some of the...
Oh, yeah. It can be a complete mess.
Yeah. And yeah, we've run into that from time to time.
Yeah.
But I'll go ahead and file some right here if you want, if anybody has any interests. Sure, let's create a FOIA request. And you can just sort of watch here. So I go to FOIA request. What are we doing?
I want to request complaints against a specific police officer.
So you may not get that. So,
it's too specific and personal.
But maybe. But
I was actually thinking probably the one that got most interest last year about the response was about the police citations for DragonCon last year, but we didn't get it because of the thing was
pretty yeah, it was like
also we used the free site and
yeah, the free site didn't do good and it was a bit difficult. But is it a specific officer?
Yes.
Do you want to do
the department?
Just more broadly?
Well, he got me in a traffic citation. He was a little rough.
Uh-huh.
I filed a complaint. I'd like to
know this data. Well, let's
and
see.
Like to know, and I'd like to
when
know.
Did you file it?
When did I file it? Oh, it's been 3 years ago.
Okay, so wait, let's see.
It should be there.
Where was this?
Woodstock, Georgia.
Canton.
Canton County, yeah.
Canton.
City of Canton Police Department.
Well, that's the thing. Was it Canton Police Department? Was it a state trooper?
It was Canton Police Department.
Okay.
Okay. So, complaints against... We'll see what happens. Police officers in Canton Police Department. Let's do this. Canton Police Department officers between the years... Between... What year was this?
2000... So, this was 2000...
So 2009.
Regarding Canton police officers between January 1st, 2009 and September
7th?
Yeah.
7th, 2015.
Yes, it is the 7th.
So this
is going to be local. Let me just take you through it real quick. So
being more general, I'm not going to get denied because it's...
We'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be more interesting data though to get all of them if they give them all.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's local. So Canton, city of Canton, Georgia. Okay. Let's see. Let's do. So it looks like they don't have this. Oh, there it is. And City of Canton Police Department. Let's just do
police.
City of Canton Police Department. It's all right. So what will happen is we'll end up either Muckrock will probably end up finding the contact information for you. This is one of the reasons that they charge is because they go and do this kind of thing for you. So
isn't filling out that thing also one of the things you can earn?
Yes. Yeah. And they assist you. But yeah, that's one of the things. If you go help them find contact details, they also do stuff. So pursuant to the Georgia Open Records Act, I hereby request the following records. Complaints received by the City of Canton regarding Canton Police Department officers between January 1st, 2009 and September 7th, 2015. The requested documents will be made available to the general public, and this request is not being made for commercial purposes. In the event that fees cannot be waived, I would be grateful if you would inform me of the total charges in advance of fulfilling my request. I would prefer the request filled electronically by email attachment if available on CD-ROM, if not. Thank you in advance for your anticipated cooperation in this manner. I look forward to receiving your response to this request within 3 business days as the statute requires. Submit. Done. Somebody asked earlier about the hoops we've been put through. I just remembered that for our mobile biometrics project, there's some city that wants to charge us $2,000 in advance. And they gave us a breakdown of like the 8 hours of staff time for like 8 different people. It's pretty ridiculous.
That happens in places. The city of Ferguson famously did it with people making requests right after the Michael Brown shooting. They wanted something like $60,000 to do any kind of record search for anything, just to try and discourage people from making them. They can make up figures, and they generally don't have to prove it until they get to a lawsuit level.
Yeah. All right, you got one?
You mentioned that, like, the $60,000 is there that Ferguson was requesting. Is there any recourse to that, any appeal that you can effectively do?
I don't really know you're going to talk about Ferguson's Missouri?
Yeah.
I don't know the Missouri law well enough.
Probably a lawsuit, though.
There's various states where you have opportunities to do that. With the federal FOIA, there's always an appeal process, and then if you don't get anywhere with the appeal process, you can sue. But there's also something called the Officer of Government Information Services, OGIS, who kind of is a bit of an ombudsman, and if you send them your complaint, they'll intervene and try to negotiate a solution. Who else has got a request? What do you got?
I'd like to get a response, but I'm trying to wait for the microphone.
With the Paulding County Police Department in Georgia, the budget for stingray usage and traffic stops.
Say it again.
Stingrays and traffic stops.
I have a suspicion because we used to live in Charlotte and we would drive back and forth, mm-hmm. and I would notice that cell phone coverage would like periodically snap out where there's supposed to be coverage. And I read that they started using stingrays for things besides domestic terrorism. And so I have to wonder if a lot of these speed traps that they have in North Georgia are using stingrays inappropriately. So
okay, so we're talking about Paulding, Georgia, right?
Yes, Paulding County, Georgia. It's a county.
Paulding County. I think I had some issues with your Paulding County. All right, let's see. with the computer cop case.
Oh, they did. That was Paulding County.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's see. Records relating to the
use of stingrays for non-domestic terrorism, or
just use. Let's just go broad.
All use of stingrays. I mean, like I said, you're not going to get anywhere with that.
No, let's. Let me phrase it anyway, because they've actually done a lot of these, and I could actually probably just clone one of their requests, I'll go ahead and write it, and we'll see how let's look at mine, and then we'll look at because they specifically went over non-disclosure agreements, so I'm going to ask for that.
Good thing with stingray cases is always take those to court, because a lot of time the FBI gets involved, because it's their program, basically, and they wind up dropping the charges because they...
Oh, no, this is already done with.
I'm just saying in general for folk.
Yeah, I don't expect anything. I'm just delighting in hopefully shooting a random shot across their bow, because I'm 90% sure they're up to stuff that they shouldn't be.
Yeah. No, but always pursue those, just because a significant portion of the time they do drop charges because they don't want to release any information about stingray to the defense.
If I had known at the time that I thought they were using stingrays, I completely would have. But.
Records relating to the use of IMSI catches by the Paulding County Sheriff's Department. Sheriff's Office.
Contracts, Newton, non-disclosure agreements, budgeting documents, reports or letters. Do you have a board of supervisors?
I'm not from Paulding County. I have no idea.
Let's see. Paulding County. Let's see what they have.
So question on that there. Obviously, you've been using a lot of keywords on that just because you're so familiar mm-hmm. with that. Is there a place where folk can get keywords that they can like type in, like, say, detecting cell phones, and give them the keywords of things to check for things like that?
So with Muckrock, if they were specifically related to stingrays, they've done so many of these that you can just go on their site, look at what's been successful before, and just clone what they call clone their request. Let's see. What do they have here? Oh, they have an open records officer.
Well, even better.
Yeah, I may need to have that later. So the Paulding, it's the Board of Commissioners. So let's do... or letters or communications to the Board of Commissioners.
Because I don't know if you're familiar with it, but in Georgia, most people are familiar with this thing called the superspeeder law.
Yeah.
And what I thought it was, because when originally came out on the news, they broadcast that it was only, that if you went 20 miles over the speed limit, you were going to get hit. Uh-huh. But actually, they've changed the law, and if you're on a two-lane highway and you go 5 miles over the speed limit, you're going to get an extra $200 fine.
See, that's the fun thing as well, because only state troopers can, if you're less than 10 over the limit, only state troopers can stop you.
Well, that's the thing. It's issued directly by the state of Georgia.
Hmm? It is in Georgia. Only state troopers can stop you if you're less than 10 over the speed limit.
That's changed. With the super speeder law,
That was as of about at least about a year ago.
So not to get off track. So what we're going to ask for are records relating to the use of IMCI catchers, which are stingrays. I just want to make sure I'm clear, because there's another company called Digital Receiver Technologies, which is a part of Boeing, that has another device.
I'm pretty sure it's stingrays, because the article I read indicated that people...
IMC catchers is the technical term for it, so we'll just go with that to make sure we catch them, in case they also bought something else. By the Paulding County Sheriff's Office, including contracts, procurement-related documents, non-disclosure agreements, budgeting documents, reports, departmental procedures and policies, and commissions and communications to the Board of Commissioners. Let's do that. All right, so we're going to do local. It's Paulding County. And hopefully it's in here. Paulding County, Georgia. There we go. And we're going to do it's the Sheriff's Office, you think?
Sure.
All right. Okay. Same deal. It's the same language as before, and it's just records relating to. And it's the same deal. I'm going to hit submit. Awesome. Yay. That's done. Anybody else got one?
That's two requests in 15 minutes.
Yeah. Can we get one? Anybody outside of Georgia? Let's try one outside of Georgia. What do you got?
I'd like to do the city of Beverly Hills, California.
Perfect. Okay, what are we asking for?
We are asking for the number of red light camera citations that were dismissed by the officer reviewing them after the tickets issued.
Dismissed red light camera tickets. So a lot of the state laws will say that that they don't have to compile records, and California says that. However, there is a little clause in the California Public Records Act, and I'll bring that up so I can show it to you. So it's weird that the internet seems to be, the connection here seems to be a little fluctuating a little bit.
It does it to clear spot things. Right. So.
Okay. So what we'll do in this one is, rather than be very specific, so you'll see here that the law says in California, when a member of the public requests to inspect a public record or obtain a copy of a public record, the public agency, in order to assist the member of the public make a focused and effective request that reasonably describes an identified record or record, shall do all of the following to the extent reasonable under the circumstances. Assist the member of the public to identify records and information that are responsive to the request or to the purpose of the request. Describe the information, technology, and physical location in which the records exist, and provide suggestions for overcoming any practical basis for denying access to the records and information sought. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say records relating to the number of red light, make all caps, red light camera tickets that were dismissed by the officer. Say it again.
Reviewing the camera footage.
The camera, the footage, photograph captured by the camera. And then what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna put in this Beverly Hills, California. Yes. And we're doing the Beverly Hills Police Department?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's hope Axel Foley isn't visiting at the time.
Okay, so in this case, I've got this letter here, and I'm going to actually augment it. And I'll say, pursuant to 6253-1, let's see. I am seeking assistance to identify records and information that would help understand me understand the effectiveness. Let's see how to phrase this. How many red light tickets are dismissed each year? And what are we doing? How many years are we doing this for? What year? Do you want to do 2014?
That sounds good.
2014.
I just wonder what kind of interesting information this will draw up and how many more articles this will start.
Yeah.
Because you had a good run last year.
Yeah, a comment I would make on this. I saw something on the LA television, one of the channels, where they have an officer reviewing all of the footage of the red light cameras. I thought, initially, that's a good idea. And it turns out, well, the cameras aren't that precise because there are a fair number of tickets where it's either too close to call or it's certainly not clear cut, if not actually wrong.
So we got anybody else? Anybody else got one? Anything you're curious about?
How wide can these requests be? For example, like you mentioned doing stingrays, could you do a request, a broad enough request to basically say, I want to see...
here's a broad request.
All stingray-related cases across the U.S.?
Well, I mean...
the Southeast?
It has to be... You have to name a specific agency. And so in that case, you're not going to find a specific agency that is going to have that knowledge.
Okay.
Maybe the FBI.
You know, but you would have the FBI, but only for FBI-involved cases.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and they would just reject that anyways. So, what you got?
A request for budget usage, perhaps proposed budget for waste disposal management and storage of INL.
What is INL?
Idaho National Laboratory.
National Laboratory.
An interesting one.
It's
located in Idaho Falls.
Okay, so yes.
They're a nuclear research facility in Idaho.
But this is federal. So, waste disposal management budget for Idaho National Laboratory. Okay, so I'm going to say before this, I'm going to put this one in, but I have a feeling you can find this information online already. But we'll ask for it anyways, and they'll either give it to us or they'll point us where we can find it online. So we are looking for... records relating to how much the Idaho National Laboratory spent on waste disposal. Well, let's start for what years do we want to look at first? What past years?
The past 5 years.
For 2009 through 2014. Years 2009 through 2014. Years 2009, 2010 through 2014, 2015, as well as records related to all future budget. As well as records related to future management. Waste management. All right. Budgeting work. Okay. Let's do that's going to be federal. That's going to be. So this may need to be
Department of Energy.
Yep, there we go. Perfect.
Now, what happens if the agency exists but it's not on that list?
So you can add it in there, and then Muckrock will usually track it down.
Okay.
Otherwise, a lot of them you would have to go find your own contact details.
Right. And I think we tried that last year as well.
It was a real pain, and that's probably why they didn't get filed. And so let's just make sure it looks good. This is a request under the Freedom of Information Act. I hereby request the following records. Records relating to how much Idaho National Laboratory, that's exactly what we said, and hit submit. So just so you guys know, you can go to, I'm gonna bring this up in a different window so I can see exactly what it looks like when I'm not locked in. Muckrock, Dave Moss. So if you go to, it looks like, I wonder if there's an easier way to do this. Sorry, it's a little slow. We only have a couple minutes left here. Does anybody else have, while I'm doing this, anybody else have another one? We got one.
I thought of a really good one we were talking about.
All
right. Well, while that's loading in the other window, I can...
I'm not sure how to phrase it, but okay. It would be with the Office of the Inspector General, and basically...
Which Inspector General?
The Federal Office of Inspector General.
Each agency has its own Inspector General.
In this case, I guess the FBI.
Okay.
Because whichever agency is in charge of classification,
okay,
is probably the FBI. And basically, any documents, reports, or studies pertaining to the enforcement of the section of the federal statute involving the abuse of overclassification of documents.
So let me go in and not file that one, okay, because that's a whole separate project that I'm actually working on. Okay. And so I don't want to confuse my communications with them through my personal account, my personal Muckrock account, with what I'm doing through my actual EFF formal letterhead. When we do it at EFF, it ends up being like this really long letter that has like legal citations in it and every possible thing. But freedom of information laws are not supposed to be just for lawyers. They're supposed to be for the average person to be able to file. However, we do it because we know there's a chance if they don't give us the records, we're going to sue.
This is our don't mess with us letters.
Yeah. They're like, we're serious about it. Let me see if it's come up yet. All right. Okay. So this isn't exactly, I wish it was easier for me to, there was a better link for it. But if you go to muckrock.com.
I'll put it on the site.
Yeah. muckrock.com/accounts/. Give me 2 seconds. I'm going to unplug real quick.
What, you don't trust us? Dude.
I'll make it a little bit easier for you. What?
No, he unplugged.
I unplugged because I'm logging into the
private
the back end of my VFF's website.
The web filter was like, no, you can't. No,
I've logged into the back end of my website so I can create the EFF website so I can create a short link for you.
Jake Tech was looking over your shoulder while you were logging.
Well, that's my bad eye. I can't read with that eye.
I'm using a password manager, so it doesn't matter.
I love those. Actually, how many of you do use password managers?
Why aren't you holding your hands up?
I have a good memory.
you can't make enough secure passwords. You shouldn't reuse any password ever.
I generally don't.
Well, unless for junk sites. I mean, site altogether.
Well, and the nifty thing about the password managers, you never have to type them in either. So it bypasses keyloggers and stuff.
I use KeePass, KEEPASSX.
I use one called Password Safe.
I think I use LastPass. I don't remember. I installed things and then I test a lot of software. And I just install things and test them and uninstall.
So if you let me bring this back up. I'm trying to figure out a way to. Okay. Yeah, that's not a good way to do it. I'm just trying to find a. There we go. How do you add? New slide. Okay. Wow, this is kind of a pain. All right. If you go to that URL, eff.org/DragonConFoia, that'll redirect you to the Muckrock page, my Muckrock profile, where you can see the request that I filed. So those would be the dismissed red light camera tickets, IMCI catchers, Canton Police Department, waste disposal, management budget for Idaho National Laboratories. You also see some other things that I've filed in general.
There's the marijuana citation data from...
No. No, it's too late.
EFF.org/DragonConFoia.
Yeah, no, I will...
All one word, all lowercase.
I will find the window that I had that in. There you go.
And it will be on our website, on the page for this panel, along with all the photographs, the videos, when it gets done, the audio...
There, that's it.
There we go.
You got it? Everyone got it? Yeah, and so what you can do, and if you sign up for an account, like just a free account, you don't need to, you know, you don't have to pay anything or you know, but what you can do is you can click on one of these, and you can click, there'll be a, if you're signed in, I'll just sign in and so I can show you.
There'll be a cloning.
Yeah, no, beyond the cloning even, like, so here's all these different people and their things. You can take one. This is a funny one. Somebody put the FBI for files on the Electronic Frontier Foundation. But you can, again, it's taking a little second. Let's see, where's one that's not complete? Oh, let's do the... there we go. So for any one of these, you can go and you can say, okay, so I want to know what's going on. I like this Albuquerque, New Mexico one. You can click follow, and then you'll get email alerts when anything new happens in this case. And with that, I have to wrap up because Scott is like, DragonCon's almost over. He wants to go home. So thank you, everybody. And if you have any questions, you know, you can find me at EFF. My email address is dm@eff.org. If you ever have any questions, DM like Danger Mouse, Death Metal, direct message.
And again, your name is so hard to spell.
On Twitter and
yeah,
Twitter and everything's on again on the panel page site. So
perfect. Thank you, everybody. You.